Radio Prague News.
The European Commission will resume payments for some Czech operational programs. The new central vehicle registration system has again collapsed, and a bankrupt Czech travel agency has left some 100 clients stranded in Tunisia. The European Commission will resume payments into seven Czech operational programs, Czech Prime Minister Petr Nečas said on Monday, referring to a telephone conversation with European Commissioner for Regional Policy Johannes Hahn. Payments into 14 out of 17 Czech programs were put on hold earlier this year over control and auditing issues. After a review of a Czech strategy to remove these problems, the European Commission will renew payments in the coming days, Mr. Nečas said. The Czech Ministry for Regional Development said around 90 million euro could be released as part of these programs until the end of 2012. However, it's not clear if and when funding for the remaining programs could resume as well. The new Czech vehicle registration system again collapsed on Monday when it failed to connect with the country's database of stolen cars and the European Registry of Identification Numbers. The Transport Ministry, which runs the system, has blamed the collapse on the police, which however rejected any responsibility for the problems. The new registration system has been malfunctioning ever since its launch 2 weeks ago. The Transport Ministry said it would demand compensation for the problems from the system's supplier. The Czech travel agency Dolce Vita declared bankruptcy on Monday, leaving around 100 of its clients stranded in Tunisia. The agency said, however, that the clients' hotels and return airfare had been paid and the tourists should return to the Czech Republic by the end of the week. Dolce Vita has become the sixth travel agency to go bankrupt this year. Railway traffic between Prague and Hradec Králové in eastern Bohemia was temporarily suspended on Monday due to maintenance work. The interruption, in effect between 9 a.m. and 4 p.m., will last 5 days. Passengers can instead use buses provided by Czech Railways, a spokesman for the company said. Regular traffic on the line should resume by Friday. Moravian folklore musician Jan Rokita died on Sunday at the age of 74, the news agency ČTK reported. Jan Rokita, a native of Jasená near Vizovice in the east of the country, founded the cymbalum band Technik in 1958. He collaborated with Czech radio for several decades and organized a number of festivals and folklore events. His band Technik recorded more than 40 albums, including pěsničky or songs, sung by the writer and former dissident Ludvík Vaculík. Organizers of the Sázava Fest music festival, held in Benešov between August the 2nd and the 5th, have cancelled appearances by the UK bands Kaiser Chiefs and Skindred. In a statement on the festival's website, the head of the festival said they could not afford the bands due to lack of finances. The organizers said they would announce the band's replacements by the end of the month. However, people who do not want to attend the event may exchange their tickets for a 200 crown discount for next year's edition of the festival. And finally, a brief look at the weather. The start of the week will be mostly sunny, with daytime highs ranging between 25 and 29 degrees Celsius. My name is Andrej Tren, it's the end of the news.
You're listening to Radio Prague, the international service of Czech radio, with me, Jan Wellinger. Coming up in today's program: more problems again with the new vehicle registration system. What a headache for motorists. We'll have the details. That'll be followed by all the latest in sports news. And a little later in the program, our guest today will be the well-known Czech author and sociologist Jitina Šiklová. Stay tuned. The new vehicle registration system is once again out of order, wreaking havoc on hundreds of drivers. A problem connecting the system to police and European identification databases means that vehicles are being registered at a snail's pace. And that is just the latest problem since the system was launched 2 weeks ago. Christian Falvey has the story.
The Transport Ministry's new vehicle registration system, meant to make the process cheaper and more efficient, was in good working order for about 1 hour on July 9th when it was launched, and has since been the source of incessant problems. In Brno, dozens of people were waiting at the registration office, where the automatic queuing machines only gave out tickets up to 200, whereupon many people left. At 8:30 a.m., the officials notified the applicants that vehicle registration was not possible and recommended they try again in the afternoon, when the system may or may not be working. Would-be drivers faced a similar dilemma in Ostrava, where queues were cut off at 10 a.m., all in all creating an impossible situation, particularly for those who rely on their cars for work, like this man who told Czech television he had been urgently visiting the office for days.
I've been here several times now, and there were no more tickets even when I came at 7 a.m. So today the lady said she would take me, but now she says the system isn't working and I have to wait.
Among the newest problems, data for certificates of roadworthiness are not loading, leading officials to fill them out by hand. Moreover, the data that does load is often wrong, and every item of the document has to be checked and fixed. The record of historical vehicles is not working. It is also impossible at the moment to transfer a vehicle from one person to another. The problem is not actually the new applications themselves, which were ordered by the Transport Ministry, but their connection to the database of vehicles, which has led the Transport Ministry and the Interior Ministry passing blame and trying to locate the problem, agreeing only on the fact that no one knows when the system will be up and running again. The Transport Ministry claims that the main problem involves vehicles from abroad and has recommended that vehicle registration be suspended for the time being to prevent people from, perhaps accidentally, registering a vehicle that has been stolen and then having it confiscated. Motor vehicle registration offices, however, say that the problems are in fact more general, and all 206 of them have struggled with them since July 9th, leaving many to wonder what the problem was with the original system.
I got here before 7 a.m. and there was already a queue across the entire car park. And around 8 o'clock I got number 212. I was here to register a car in May and everything was ready in 15 minutes. This new system is broken. I'm here for the third time now, and it looks like I'm not going to get to the front of the queue this time either.
The price of the software, which was ordered from the telecommunications company ATS Telecom Praha without a tender, was 37 million crowns. Its operation is set to cost another 32.4 million. While the ministry's contract allows it to impose a fine of 2 million crowns for every day that the system is inoperable, how much the state may end up paying in compensation for damages to drivers remains to be seen.
Christian Falvey reporting there on what has become a perfect mess, the new vehicle registration system, almost reminiscent of the Onion's parody of Prague or Czech Republic's airport, non-existing airport called Franz Kafka Airport. And if any of you saw that on YouTube or elsewhere, well, you'll know what I'm talking about. Basically, a system looping on itself and not working. If you'd like to comment on today's program so far, please do so by writing to english@radio.cz. Now, though, it's time for all the latest sports results. And for that, I'm joined in the studio by my colleague, Dominic Yoon.
NBA Washington Wizards player Jan Veselý has decided to bow out of the Czech national team's qualifiers for the biennial European Basketball Championships, or FIBA Eurobasket. The 22-year-old made the decision after his NBA bosses said that they wanted Veselý to remain in training for the Wizards' upcoming season rather than focusing on the national team's efforts. Representatives from the Czech national squad have been in negotiations with the Wizards, but after the decision was announced on Saturday, stated that Veselý would have significantly improved the national team's chances, but that the Czechs expected that they would have to do without their star player. Veselý joined the Wizards in 2011 as part of that year's NBA draft. The 2013 Eurobasket tournament will be held in Slovenia. The Czechs will face Portugal, Turkey, Belarus and Italy. A pre-season friendly between Italy's Serie A club Parma FC and the Czech team Slavia Prague ended in a 3-3 draw. The match was held in northern Italy's Levico Terme on Saturday. The Czechs went up after Stepan Koresh converted a pass from Milan Škoda in the 14th minute. Amuari equalised in the 26th minute, while Galopa put the Italians 2-1 up in the 49th minute. But the Czechs came back with two goals in short succession in the 61st and 63rd minutes before Alessandro Luzzarelli levelled out the match at 3-3 in the 75th minute. This was Slavia's final match before the start of the new season on Monday, in which they are set to play Jihlava. Meanwhile, Sparta Prague also played a pre-season friendly over the weekend, losing 2-3 on penalties to rivals FK Bohemians after the match ended 1-1 at full time. Czech 400m hurdles athlete Zuzana Hejnová beat both world champion Lashinda Demus and Olympic champion Melanie Walker to achieve first place at the Diamond League Track and Field Championships in Monaco on Friday. The athlete achieved a time of 54.12 seconds, a season best that managed to wipe away a disappointing fourth place finish at the European Championships in Helsinki in late June. Training colleague and fellow Czech Denis Roslova came in fourth with a time of 54.73. Commenting on the win, Hejnová said she hoped a surprise at the upcoming Olympics tournament. Also at the tournament was Czech pole vaulting champion Jiřina Ptáčníková, who came in joint third, clearing a height of 4.62 metres. Ptáčníková will also be joining Roslova and Hejnová at the Olympics in London. 26-year-old badminton player and cancer survivor Petr Koukal is set to carry the Czech flag at the opening ceremony of the London 2012 Olympics on Friday. In September 2010, Koukal was diagnosed with testicular cancer and underwent immediate medical treatment. Last year, he was declared fit and returned to badminton. Reflecting on the honour of being able to lead his country in the Olympic ceremony, Koukal said that this was a huge honour and one he could not have managed in the dark days following his cancer diagnosis. Koukal's presence at the Olympics remained uncertain until early June, when he managed to qualify for the tournament. The player was the reigning Czech champion from 2007 to 2011 and also a participant at the last games in Beijing. Here is Koukal talking about how he approached the cancer diagnosis and decided to use it to educate others.
So we told people what was going on, what had really happened, and that led to great interest from the media, which somewhat surprised us. But then we said to ourselves that there is no point in hiding from it, and let's instead talk about it and let it be known that men like me should know that something like this exists and that it is important to keep your eye out for it.
He had a disappointing Euro 2012 and even found himself being booed by his own fans, but now freshly retired Czech international footballer Milan Baroš has decided to stay on as a striker at his local team Turkey's Galatasaray. Baroš has been with the club since 2008 after stints at clubs such as Liverpool and Aston Villa. With summer transfer windows wide open, several clubs, reportedly both in China and US Major League Soccer, expressed an interest in the 30-year-old player. However, Baroš, who receives 2.7 million euro per season at Galatasaray, was reportedly offered a pay cut of 1.5 million by the unspecified new clubs. He refused and decided to stay in Turkey, although his contract there will run out at the end of the upcoming season. Reports suggest that Galatasaray are eager to ditch Baroš, whose form in the 2011-2012 season proved disappointing.
Dominic Ewan with the sports news, and he's going to stay us with the main feature in today's program, which is another edition of One on One, this time with Jiřina Šiklová.
My guest today is Jiřina Šiklová, a noted sociologist and author. Born in 1935 in Prague, Šiklová studied history and philosophy at Charles University. As a member of the Czech Communist Party, she became a key voice in the reform efforts that culminated in the Prague Spring. She left the party after the Soviet invasion, severely limited in her official career opportunities as a result. As a dissident, she often published under an assumed name and assisted in the smuggling of literature both from and to the country, for which she was ultimately briefly imprisoned in 1981. Today she continues in her work as a sociologist, giving university lectures, writing books and articles, and often having heated debates with the powers that be. Jiřina Šiklová, welcome to the studio.
Welcome.
You were born in 1935 in Prague, and you've seen a lot of Czech history. So what are some of your earliest memories? Do you have any memories of World War II or the 1948 communist putsch?
I think that my remembering is deeper. I remember how was here in Prague mobilization, and my father pick our family and we went from Prague. And later I remember how it was in the time of Heydrichiada, that I didn't understand what it is really happened, but I have seen this atmosphere, which were very complicated, and my parents have a big fear and discussion. And to see and or to hear your parents, how they are tense, it is emotionally important for the children. I was in Prague during the Prague Revolution in 1945. I am living from the time from my born in the same place, in Klimenska, and so on.
So as you were growing up, did you gradually become more and more aware politically of what was going on around you? What was the process of asking questions and wondering that things were or were not normal?
I was from so-called bourgeois family, but it is important to explain it from my point of view. I was not from the bourgeois family because my father was medical doctor, my mother was teacher, and we were not too rich, but we have a very good standard, and my father was a member of the Social Democratic Party. It means that I was very well informed, not about what it has happened on the official level, but I observed the commentary of my parents. For example, my mother was a schoolmate of Milada Horáková. It was one of the reasons when Milada Horáková were executed, why my mother repeated, don't do it, nothing with the politics. You see what it has happened with my friend. But you know it, it is complicated. I think that all generations try to find and give her or his fingers into the political situation.
Because obviously you didn't take your parents' advice, you went into Charles University and you did become politically active. So how did that happen? So you were a communist at the time, and then during the reform process that led up to 1968, you were for that wave. You signed a petition that was called 2,000 Words. So was that a time of great hope that things could get better?
I thought, and I think that I was not alone, that it is only one solution how to change the society. For me, was not different alternative, this so-called communist or socialist, yes, because I never, when I was adult or half adult, in the different regime. And in this time, I think that not only I, but the plenty of people didn't see the alternative for the present situation. And I thought that it started the reform, and that is a possibility. Second one, that it was after the so-called Hungarian situation, and that it started the changes here at the beginning of the 60s. And I was in this time at the faculty, and the atmosphere at the faculty was different. And in the 60s, I was a young mother. My children are born at the beginning of the 60s. But when started in half of 60s, the changes that I participated, not only at the faculty, but we had started with this so-called high school student committee, which was, I think, relative very progressive. And that I thought that the changes are possible. And I remember that in 1967, it was in summer, was stopped the Congress of our writers and were closed the, in this time, very famous papers, Literarni listi. And for me, it was the impulse that it is important to start with the activity and to support these writers which were dismissed. And that I started to be not only a member of Communist Party, but at the beginning of 1968, I was the head of this organization at the philosophical faculty.
And then the Soviet invasion came, and in 1969 you left the party, and suddenly you find yourself being punished for being a reformer. You found yourself unable to get work, to study. So how did that feel, just the sudden realization that your career potentially is over, or that you're now a dissident?
I thought that they are the consequences. Punished were not only the people which participated in these changes, but the other people. For example, in this time were from the philosophical faculty dismissed 200 or 300 people. And I am proud that I was dismissed in the first group of 10 people. In very good society, I can tell you, together with Jan Patočka, Karel Kosík, Milan Machovec, etc., etc., yes. And I thought, yes, it's okay, it's normal. If you are doing something against somebody, it is normal that you will be punished. And for me, it was not a tragedy.
Even though you were working as a cleaner and things like this, you couldn't get work?
I think that it was not a tragedy for me, really, because nobody knows how long it will be. And I thought 2 or 3 years, and it was longer. But in this time started so-called parallel society. You could use the name dissident society.
So in the ensuing years, in the normalization years, you were a smuggler of books, sending them out into the West, receiving things from the West, writing sometimes under an assumed name. Were those times of hopelessness, or were those times of hope?
I think that it was time of hope. And I thought myself that it is very important that culture is safe to help that the people survived. And I have seen that I have the ability, not qualification, like a spy, yes, to invisible organize it. And I had the satisfaction from it. If I have seen how many books, manuscripts were smuggled abroad, how plenty of articles were published abroad, and I think that evoke the new ability of these people to write. I think that it was 20 years with which I have survived very well.
So now, post-revolution, Czechoslovakia, are you sometimes sorry that the younger generation don't remember the wisdom that came from suffering, or do you think it's better that they don't have any memory of the past?
I thought that the memory of people will be longer, but for young people it's normal. Isn't it? If I remember how my parents remember on this Austria-Hungarian Empire and their repetition, how they lived. And of course, it is connected with the period of life.
If we can briefly examine some of your work as a sociologist, you established gender studies in this country, and you also have a rather unique perspective on feminism, which is not the typical feminism. I spoke to somebody who was surprised that you turned up somewhere as a feminist, fully made up, very sort of attractively dressed, and they said, wait a minute, that's a feminist? Okay, that's interesting. So tell me about your views on feminism.
It is a very good question. Yes, I know that we are atypical, but you should understand us that we had plenty of emancipation from above, yes. It was organized. Here was the duty to work. It was not only the duty, it was really only this possibility. It was normal for us. And our women had different experiences from the women from the West. And when these West European and American feminists arrived to us, we have seen that we are different here.
Jiřina Šiklová, it's been an absolute pleasure. Thank you very much for joining us.
You've been listening to One on One with Dominik Jun, and his guest was the well-known Czech sociologist Jiřina Šiklová. It's time now, though, for our final feature for this day. If you're a learner of the Czech language and you've been following our long-running series, The ABC of Czech, well, here's another episode with Pavla Horáková. Jedna, dvě, tři, čtyři, pět, co z toku ve, co z
Hello and welcome to Czech by Numbers, Radio Prague's Czech language series, which looks at Czech numbers and their use in idioms and everyday speech. Today I'm here with
Daniela Lazarová,
and we'll be talking about the number 9 in Czech. The Czech word for 9 is
devět,
which sounds completely different from the English, but is almost identical in all Slavonic languages. 9 is considered to be a lucky or magic number in many cultures and appears in various fairy tales and popular sayings. For example, cats are supposed to have 9 lives.
Kočky mají 9 životů.
In both the English-speaking world and the Czech Republic. In English, some children's stories begin with the phrase over the hills and far away, and Czech ones start with
za devatero horami a devatero řekami.
Over 9 mountains and across 9 rivers. The word
devatero
is just another way of saying
devět,
9. Another idiom using the word is
devatero řemesel,
9 trades, typically used in the saying
devatero řemesel a desátá bída,
literally 9 trades and the 10th being poverty. The expression is used roughly in the same sense as the English jack of all trades, master of none. That is, it's better to do one thing well than many things sloppily. Another example of the importance of 9 in folklore is the Czech name of the flower butterbur,
devět sil,
which translates as 9 strengths. The ordinal number is
devátý
for the masculine and
devátá
for the feminine. Standing on its own, the latter is almost always used to mean Symphony No. 9 by Beethoven. That's it for today. Next time we'll be back with number 10. Till then,
nashledanou.
The ABC of Czech, Czech by Numbers with Pavla Horáková brings us to the end of today's program. As always, you'll find much more news at our website, radio.cz. You can also follow Radio Prague on the social networks, namely Facebook and Twitter. I'm Jan Wellinger. For all of us here at the station, thanks so much, and join us again soon. Bye-bye.